Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Nice to see you all today. How are we all doing? I think it's one of those days that is much better in terms of the weather. It was quite hot yesterday. I'm not sure if it was only me that felt that. But I think today is a much better day. So I hope that helps as well. My prayer this morning is that the message that I have to deliver to you today, that the Holy Spirit breaks it down in a way that you will be able to understand in the way that He wants you to understand and in the way that you will be blessed and take something home today. So, at some point in our journey through life, we have encountered individuals or an individual who we have some, you know, who've come to view as our pillar of strength. We view them as our confidant. Some people would say a staunch ally. These are people who do not only support us, but also possess an ability to read our unspoken thoughts and feelings. You know, they understand our body language perfectly. They know when, you know, something is not just right. They know when we need something, and they might be able to help out with that. Typically, when you find somebody like that, you know, the things you would do is you probably, you know, you will cherish them. You know, you want to go to places with them because you know they have your back. They are your backup. My son would say they are my teammates, you know, people, you know, that he would do things with at school. You believe in them. When they say stuff, you know, you want to believe in them first before you believe anyone else. You also support them as much as you can. You walk with them and explore life together in most cases. Let's, for example, think for a moment about, you know, a soldier preparing for battle. They seek a comrade who they can trust with their lives. Trust is the ultimate currency, you know, in those type of situations. You do not want to be venturing into battle with someone you do not trust, somebody that is willing to help you out, or in most cases, take a bullet for you just to make sure that, you know, you are not hurt badly. Individually, we all have someone, you know, in mind we want to walk down a dark alley with. You know, it's dark late at night and we are sure, wow, it might take me 20 minutes to go through a different route. But there is this alley here that would just, you know, make the journey shorter. Maybe 5 minutes. And I want to go through that alley. But I'm not really sure, is it safe? You probably have somebody that you want to go down that dark alley with. Why? Because, you know, you believe that either the person is, you know, strong, is powerful, can face any situation, can stand up to anybody. You know, they probably have the combined, you know, attributes of the best karate grandmaster or kickboxer, you know, combined. They command fear in people. When people see them, they fear them. So you want to walk down with that person knowing, okay, nothing is going to happen. If you see someone, you will probably be the first person to do somebody like this. Because you know, okay, I've got a backup here that will protect me. You know what? My wife Ramona sees me that way. She believes that, you know, if we were in this dark alley, I will be out there to help her out. What she doesn't know is that if we were in a dark alley and something happened, I would be the first to run. Not gonna wait. Before she turns around, I'm home. I'll be like, Ramona, catch up. Nah, I'm joking. I would believe, I want to see myself as the person that would stand up and say, look, what is wrong? You know, try to diffuse any situation and make sure that, you know, harm doesn't come our way. The same with my children, the same with my friends, you know. If we are out there, you know, I want to be sure I can support them as much as they can support me. I'm not just walking with them for no reason. We have to have each other's back. Well, let's take it down to maybe more of something we see every day. Football. Consider the footballer in the field. They want a teammate who they can rely on. If you watch football, you want a defender who will staunchly stop any attack. You know, who will be there to help out? If you are a striker, you want a midfielder who understands your run and will, you know, deliver the right pass that will help you score the goals that you need to be able to get the, you know, golden boot. You've seen, probably if you watch football, how there are strikers that will put so much effort. They sprint forward, run towards, they're eyeing the midfielder, lay the pass. And what does he do? He plays it behind them. Though if you see things like that, well, how do you think they react? They react with frustration. That's not who you want to work with. On a personal note, I always like to bring it back to my career at sea. There were certain shipmates that I really liked to sail with. And the reasons were, a few of the reasons were, I could play football with them, either physically or on the game console, because that was what we used to do at our downtime, as well as other things. We also had some that used to join us during our Sunday worship and devotion. You wanted people like that. Some of them could play instruments because I think at a point we did sort of raise the issue with management and they decided to buy us instruments, drums, keyboards, things that we could use to, you know, enhance our Sunday worship on board the ship. So it used to be, you know, very good, and you wanted people that could play those instruments. You wanted to sail with them. Some of the ones that I also would like to really work with were crew that understood my work ethic. They understood my pattern. You know, they knew how I wanted the navigational watch or cargo watch to be kept. They knew the sequence. They knew, okay, once we went on board, once we, you know, did all of handover, they knew exactly the first thing to do. You would have a watchman that you would never have to say, go and do this, because they know what you want. They know that, okay, even target, for me, it used to be anything within 4 points, port or starboard side, I want to know about it first. I mean, every other thing, you know, you could play around. But anything between 4 points for starboard side, let me know so that I can prepare myself and come down and track that target and know how to maneuver, because that there could be a dangerous situation. Watchmen like that are people you want to work with. You want to be able to say, okay, I can trust this person, and the person can trust you. They know that when they tell you something, you're going to believe them and know that, okay, maybe it's serious. Why am I saying all of this? It is because we require to be, you know, in the company of individuals who not only accompany us on our journey, can support or protect us, but also have the capacity to sharpen our character, and in turn, we bless them with our presence. How about working with God? The topic for today is working with God. We must realize that working with God means we have divine protection and support. If you are with God, it doesn't matter how many people are against you, because you are the majority in that situation. Working with God is a transformative thing. Everyone around you will notice a difference in you if you are working with God. Working with God can bring on unimaginable blessings and peace in our lives. I'll point out a few reasons why, you know, we must work with God and, you know, give Him total control of every situation that we're in. So one of the points is that we will have a life of purpose. Working with God will bring about a life of purpose. When we work with God, He reveals His divine purposes in our lives and guides us through life's storms with unwavering faith. Noah's life served as an incredible example of working with God. Now, we can see that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. And it says, basically, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he worked faithfully with God. Despite all the chaos and wickedness surrounding him, Noah found purpose and direction by faithfully walking with God. God saved Noah and his family from the flood because he was righteous in God's eyes. He decided to walk with God irrespective of what every other person around him was doing. The second point is that of divine protection and provision. When we walk with God, he ensures that we lack nothing and leads us to a place of abundance. Where people are struggling, where people are having issues, you realize that you have this sort of peace of mind, knowing that your God that has, you know, everything according to his riches in glory will provide for you. We also see in Psalm 23, which says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He made me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. I think I picked up one of those that I think I didn't mention before, which was that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's the same analogy of walking down that dark alley, knowing that, okay, I may not have my friend today, I may not have this strong person with me today, but I have God. And I'm going to walk down this dark alley with my God with me, and nothing will happen. God could bring confusion to people that want to cause trouble to you, you know, while you're walking down that dark alley, just because you have God. As far as you have God, you are assured of divine protection and divine provision. You know, God, just as David declared, the Lord is his shepherd, we too can experience divine protection and provision when we walk with God. Think of the Israelites in the wilderness, where God provided manna from heaven and protected them from their enemies. When they had nothing, God always made a way for them. When they were struggling, God always came through. When they had battles to fight, God always came through and helped them out. Think about the wall of Jericho. They couldn't see a way in, but God provided a way, and God offered divine protection. Point number three is that when you walk with God, you have a transformation of character. While walking with God, we will cultivate the fruits of the Spirit. That transformation of character comes, you know, in ways that other people may not realize. And sometimes we may not necessarily realize what is happening. But somebody will say, oh, something is different about you today. Wow. Well, I'm just, you know, walking with the, you know, aura of the Holy Spirit. I've got God with me. That is what's happening here. I've got the fruit of the Spirit, which I'm, you know, radiating. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 to 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, who doesn't want all of that? We all want the fruit of the Spirit, and that is exactly what will show in us. That is how our life will be transformed when we walk with God. God delivered Moses and the Israelites from slavery in Egypt because they walked with him while he was there, or while they were there. God parted the Red Sea for them because they decided to walk with him. Everything that happened from when they left Egypt up till when they arrived at Red Sea points to the fact that the children of Israel decided to walk with God, decided to obey everything or all the precepts of God that we can see in Exodus chapter 14, verse 19 to 31. We could also notice, you know, in the story of the children of Israel during that journey, each time they deviated from the ways, you know, of the Lord, you can see all the troubles, you know, and struggles that they faced. That is why it's important to hold firm unto God and not deviate, irrespective of the challenges we may face. If you remember Moses and how he was growing up and the issues he had, I think it's well recorded that he was a stammerer. And because of that, that did knock his self-confidence, you know, in many ways. Moses didn't believe that God could choose him to do the work that he did and to end up being the one to lead the children of, you know, Israel out of Egypt. Moses started as a hesitant and insecure man, but as he walked with God, he transformed into a faithful leader. The same Spirit works in us when we walk with God, producing those fruits that I've mentioned, which is love, joy, peace, and Christ-like character within us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." That says one thing. When you are radiating this fruit of the Spirit, when your life is all about love, joy, peace, it will not just be for you, but it will also affect the people around you. There will be love, you know, peace, joy with the people that you have. And they will be able to say that. That's why I said before, when people ask you, well, there's something different about you, or why is it that you're always this way, or how can somebody do that to you and, you know, you forgive them? There is always those questions that will come from people to you. They do not understand. But the secret is that you have God. You are not in that office alone. You are not in school alone. You are not in that pub alone. You are not in those places that you normally go alone. You are going in there with God. You are going there with God. And because you're with God, things will always change. Things will never be the same. The same issues that other people face will not be the same issues that you face because you have God. When people say, oh, there is a problem there, yours will be different. Personally, I've been in situations where I've worked with captains that were very harsh. People did not like them. They always said, oh, I don't like this captain because he's like this. I don't like that chief officer because he's like that. But for some reason, not really throughout my time at sea, I cannot really remember any captain that I had so much trouble with. Even the one that was feared sort of became my friend. I did not know why. I'm sure those captains probably do not know why, but they would come to talk to me, give me information to go tell someone else, because those other guys, they are afraid to come to the captain. And when I ask them, they say, wow, no, that's such a bad man. He's such this, he's such that. I'm like, well, I see what you mean, but I've always wondered, why is it that I was able to flow? Why is it that I was able to do the things that I did with my capacity, sometimes as a junior officer then? Everything worked out, and I want to believe it's God. I want to believe that, you know, you might have, you know, your stubbornness, but when you meet my God, or when you meet the Spirit that of God, the living God that I work with, that has to change. You won't be able to, you know, persecute me or intimidate me like you intimidate other people. I'll respect you, But I know that my God is more than you. So no matter what you think you have, you will have to bow and be subdued to the higher power. Point number four is that when we walk with God, we have guidance in times of uncertainty. Guidance in times of uncertainty. When other people are running around thinking, what is happening? What are we going to do? You are always focused and probably listening. God, what should I do in this situation? And usually the Holy Spirit provides the guidance that you need to be able to do what you need to do. When we walk with God, He promises to make our path straight, providing wisdom, direction in times of uncertainty. When the Israelites got to the Red Sea, I'm sure you've seen in movies, if you read as well in the Bible, you will understand the sort of commotion that happened. They started to accuse Moses and said, "You should have led us to die in Egypt. Why did you bring us here to kill us and make us die? Basically, this is no man's land." But during that time of uncertainty, did God not come through for them? Was the Red Sea not parted? Did God not make a way and get them from where they had to, where they needed to be, get them to where they needed to be? I've seen people around me go through times of uncertainty. But I've always said that as far as you have God, God will lead you through. And I can guarantee you it's always the case. As far as you have God as the defender, it doesn't matter what man says or what anyone says. At place of work, I've seen people have issues. But we said the same thing. If you have God, God will make things work out for you. And basically, we always have testimonies that whoever was planning something bad always ends up being the one that goes, instead of the person that they were basically targeting. Sometimes I do laugh and I say, oh, they don't know the God that they are trying. They don't know the God that they are testing. Because you might just look at someone and say, oh, who do they have? Well, I have this. I have the CEO. I have this backing. But you're surprised that when God deals with the CEO like God dealt with Pharaoh, things will change. Even the CEO that was your friend, or that was that person's friend, will turn around and say, no, this, enough of this. Or they might even say, in short, you are giving me too much trouble. You leave now. Probably once everything is settled, once you are free, then I always believe maybe the CEO or whoever made the decision will be like, what happened there? What happened? How did we get there? Oh, well, that's what God usually do sometimes. God hadn't the heart of Pharaoh for him to see the almighty power of God before he was able to release the children of Israel to go. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Guidance in times of uncertainty. God will direct your path. Abraham, known as the father of faith, trusted God's guidance even when he didn't fully understand the journey ahead. God told him, go with Isaac. And what was the journey about? The journey was for him to offer sacrifice. Okay, where is the animal? Where is the lamb? Where is the goat? He didn't have it, but he trusted God and proceeded on the journey. And God did offer clarity when it was needed. If you know, remember the story of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, everything that happened, how Daniel was going to be thrown into the lion's den, fed to the lions. When Daniel refused to worship King Darius instead of God. In Daniel's mind, Daniel was very sure that nothing was going to happen to me because I have my God. For the people that plotted to throw Daniel into the lion's den, they thought, oh, we've had all bases covered. Once he's in the lion's den, he's done. But what happened when he went into the lion's den? Did we not read that the lions sort of became friends with Daniel? They just looked at him and they didn't see him as food. They were like, oh, no, not this one. To the surprise of everybody that, you know, ganged up against him. God used Esther's bravery to save her, her uncle Mordecai, and the Jewish people from extermination planned by Haman. I don't think that Haman just woke up one day and said, did everything the same day and then put the plan into motion. Haman took time. He thought about it. He said, okay, what would I do? How will I get these people or this Mordecai, you know, killed? But God used Esther, who was the king's wife, to change everything around. Esther and her people found favor, you know, in King Ahasuerus' kingdom. It's just one of those stories that if you read, you will most likely key into it if you have any issues at your place of work, because exactly the same thing. It was the king's palace. It was where Mordecai worked. It was where Esther lived. It was where the king lived. And all of those happened. And at the end of the day, the person that did the evil plot was the one that, you know, was gone. God provided guidance for them during that time of uncertainty. The last point that I will share today is that of eternal fellowship. When we walk with God, we have eternal fellowship. Walking with God is not just for the earthly life, but extend into eternity. Jesus invites us to fellowship with him. And when we accept his invitation, we experience a deep and unending relationship with our God, with our Creator. I have only highlighted five, you know, benefits of walking with God. However, there are so much more to gain from that journey, to gain from that relationship, to gain from your everyday walk with God. Of course, there will be challenges along the way. We will encounter certain things that might test our faith. It's not always easy. It's not always straightforward. Sometimes we may stumble. We'll have to pick ourselves up. Sometimes we'll have to cry out to God and say, Lord, please help us. You know, I'm in this sticky situation. I don't know how to get myself out of it. We will encounter temptations. You know, the enemy will try to distract us from following God's plan. The enemy, you know, the devil will offer us a different way, which sometimes seems pleasing. Seems like that is the way to go. We may even have self-doubt. We may question, you know, if God hears us, if our prayers are being answered, if we are truly following God's plan. We may question all of that, because that will come depending on what situation you're in. Life's trials will also be one of those things that, you know, will pose challenges to us. We may be in places that everybody do not behave how we behave. We can't even pray. We can't even say what we believe. You know, we may feel like giving up, you know, when life throws all sorts of obstacles. But we must keep holding on to God's promises. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 36 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, he might receive the promises. Cast not your confidence. What you are believing is 100% correct. Your walk with God will yield the fruits and the promises that are there in the Bible. Your walk with God will lead to guidance in times of uncertainty. Your walk with God will lead to eternal fellowship. Your walk with God will lead to divine protection. Your walk with God will lead to a life of purpose, transformation of character. All of those are promises that will come to pass. So you have to believe it. I mean, when it's so hard, just remember, you know, that even in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6 verse 13, it says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That is the Lord's Prayer. And there is a reason for that. Jesus knew that there was going to be temptation. That's why we have to include that. When we're struggling, we just have to pray unto God and say, "Lord, I'm struggling here. This self-doubt is here. Life's trials, I'm struggling. My body hurts. So many things are happening. There is temptation. Should I be giving in to this? I shouldn't, I know. But just pray to God that, Lord, help me." And God will always be there to help. God has given us the power and the grace to overcome, you know, any challenges or struggles. The power and the grace is there. We must believe and pray without ceasing. I'll end by highlighting again, you know, as well of the 5 points I've mentioned, that, you know, working with God offers hope and assurance for the future. For we live by faith and not by sight. Working with God produces tested faith, discipline, and visible love seen in good works. While we know that we may face troubles here on earth, we should remember that God will never leave nor forsake us. Do not be afraid, irrespective of what your journey is like or where it is, or where it will take you to. As Psalm chapter 118, verse 6 says, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid." May the Lord bless his word for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.